Accession number 25535, Reel 1.
Donald Lashbrook, Reel 1. When and where were you born?
I was born on the 30th September 1920 at Hammerton Cinema Terrace. Then we moved to Exeter.
What did your father do?
My father was a tailor. I went to school at Ladysmith Road School till 1929. But as the trade in those days was very bad, my father was living in London. And my mother died in 1929, and so we had to pack up and move to London. I joined the Territorial Army to get the £5 a year bounty, which was a lot of money in those days. I was called up in August 1939.
I'll just take you back a bit. What did you like doing at school?
Well, sport was my most in my mind, because we had a very good footballer called Clifford Dustin. He was a friend of my brother's. But sport, football, was my main. I was crazy on it.
When you left school, where did you go to work?
I left school when I was 14, and I managed to get a job at the co-op at 7.6 a week. When I told my mother that I got the job and I was starting the following Monday, she sat down and cried. My stepmother, this is, because my father married again. She cried to think that I managed to get a job. And I worked for the co-op for over 50 years, barring my war service.
What did you do in your spare time when you weren't working? Did you continue with your football? Did you continue with the football?
No, I didn't. I joined the Territorial Army, because that was a main thing, because you had to go at least once a week or twice a week, if you could, to training.
In
Croydon.
In Croydon.
The 4th Battalion of the Queen's Regiment. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. But you see, I was only in there, in the Territorial Army, a matter of months, when war started. And I was called up. I was only 18.
Where did you go?
We left Croydon by double-decker buses, London buses, all the way to Avonmouth Docks. We were stationed in around Avonmouth Docks. Most of us slept in railway trucks, because there was no facilities to put up tents. Some slept in factories. We were fed very well by the canteens, which was in the Avonmouth Docks. We were there for 6 months. Then we moved, got posted to Devonport, to Torpoint oil tanks, because they were expecting air raids on the naval base.
Can I just take you back again?
Mm-hmm.
When you were at Avonmouth, what sort of training did you get?
Not a lot. Only about machine guns, Lewis guns, etc. You know, and foot drill. We had very little ammunition. It was unbelievable to think you only had a few rounds of ammunition in your gun, and you had to sign for it every time you went off duty and or on duty. You never had you couldn't pick up boxes of ammunition, never had it. It was so short. especially with rifles. We never had rifles. That came until later on, the rifles, because we didn't need them in those days, you know. We had Lewis guns, and that, but rifles, they were kept for the infantrymen.
And was it a lot different than you had expected the army to be?
Mm-hmm.
You'd been in the local Home Guard before, the Territorial Army.
Mm.
So you found it quite the same as you'd had in your Territorial service?
Yes. Then
did other boys find it difficult?
Did I?
You had other young men with you.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of group were you?
We were in a very good, because we all knew one another. We were all people that lived, men lived around Croydon and that, and I palled out with a couple of lads who were barrow boys, as we called them in those days, and they were really good pals. They were really good cockneys. They were really lovely fellows. And
how did they take to the army life?
Oh, very good indeed, very good. But I enjoyed it to a certain extent, you know, except for being away from home. But
what did you hear about the war? What was going on?
Well, it was only just starting at that time in 1939, 1940. The Blitz started coming on, air raids, and then we got moved to Buckinghamshire on the outskirts of London.
After you left Bristol, you went down to Torpoint. How long were you there?
We was only there for about 12 weeks.
Which unit were you attached to?
Mm?
What unit were you attached to?
I was still with the 4th Battalion of the Queens. And
what were your duties there?
It's just the same. We just had gun posts and those Lewis guns. That's all we had, you know. And then we moved to Buckinghamshire, all around Marlow, Great Missenden, around that area. Because the Blitz started in 1940-41. And then, as it got worse, we got moved to Kent when the Battle of Britain was on at, in 1940-41. I can always remember seeing the first needlebug flying over. And a typhoon diving down to it and tipping the wings and to tip it over to make it crash into the ground, and it saved them firing machine guns at them. Of course, then they were sorting out all personnel, all the A1 people. We got posted to Northern Ireland to do 3 months infantry training, because they were getting very short of men on the ground because the Blitz was finishing. And we went over to Ireland for 3 months to do infantry training on the...
Where were you stationed?
County Down at Castle Welling. And we did most of our training on the mountains of Lorne. It rained nearly every day we was over there. Came back after our fortnight's embarkation leave, expecting to go to France. But they put us on the boat, the Cape Town Castle, and took us to Bombay.
Right, so tell me about your journey on the boat.
On the boat, you did nothing. Mostly people were troops, play cards, things like that, but you just lazed around, you couldn't do much, you know, because it was very packed. I mean, it was absolutely overflowing, the boat.
How many men do you think were on it?
Oh, thousands. It's more, double than what it should have taken.
Were you part of a convoy?
A very big convoy. We had a lot of, I think there's three aircraft carriers with aeroplanes boxed on the deck. And we had quite a a lot of liners and cargo ships. It was a very big convoy. It was most terrifying as we left Liverpool to go around Northern Ireland. We went around Northern Ireland out into the Atlantic. The U-boats was there at its height then.
So when would this have been? What date?
Oh, 41, 42. I can't remember the dates. Anyway, we got to Bombay.
So, on the way, how long did that trip take?
How long? It took us 3 weeks to get to Bombay.
Which way did you go?
We went through the Med.
Did you?
And the Suez Canal through the Red Sea to Bombay.
Did you make any stops?
No. Only one stop, and that was at Alexandria, Egypt.
Did you disembark?
No, he wasn't allowed to disembark.
How did you cope with the heat?
It wasn't too bad. It was worse when we got to the Red Sea. Very bad there. And we all hit a monsoon. And a lot of us were seasick. It was really a rough ride. We thought, it'd be lovely, but we had to run into the storm, and it was really tough going. And some of the men were in a terrible state.
What sort of conditions did you have on board? How did you sleep?
Anywhere.
Were you in hammocks?
You had hammocks, but most, because if the evenings was warm, we used to sleep up on deck as much as we could if we could find a place. But
and what was the food like?
Very good. The food on board ship. But there again, a lot of people were bad and sick, and they didn't bother to eat.
What sort of duties did you have to do on board? Did you still have to do drills?
No, the only we had keep fit and that, but nothing, no drill whatsoever. Our sections, we were detailed to stop troops going down into the crew's quarters. We wasn't allowed to go into the crew's quarters. That was the only duty I had on board ship.
Did you have a lot of injections before you went away?
We took a lot of tablets, Mecafin tablets for malaria, inoculations. But the Mecafin tablets for malaria that made you go yellow, you seem to change colour after keep taking them. Was that ready when we get into India?
And did you have tropical kit?
Yes, we all had tropical kit. Not on board ship. Yes, we did. Yes. Except when we got to India, they issued us with topies.
And when you've been training in Ireland, had you learnt any special skills? Machine gunning or...?
No, it's just infantry training, route marching, and digging in, and that, and sleeping out at night time, and all that sort of thing. But,
had you heard much about India? Had you heard much about the operations in India? Did you know what to expect when you got there?
No, we had no idea. No idea at all. We arrived in Bombay, and then we were taken to Doolally Transit Camp, which is just outside of Bombay. There, we were there for a little while before we was put on a train to Karachi.
What did you think of India? What were your first impressions?
Very hot, very dirty, and the begging was terrible. People begging for money, anything, food. was on the train for some days, how long it was, I can't remember, to Karachi. And when we got to Karachi, I was in the stationed at the King's, in the King's Regiment. And we were stationed in the regular barracks in Karachi, which was very good indeed.
Were your friends still with you at this time? The mm-hmm. Barrow Boys? Were the Barrow Boys still with you?
Yes. Oh, yes, they were with me all the time. And we had our training there.
What did that consist of?
Square bashing, marching and that. And then you had to sleep or had to lay down from 12 o'clock until about 2 because the heat was too bad. But then they put the Gurkhas out on the training during the hot part of the day. They were wonderful men, fantastic.
What contact did you have with them?
Very little contact, really. They were kept separate.
Did they have British officers?
They had all British officers, yes. But the men, you know, if you met them, they were really wonderful fellows. They'd do anything. I'd go anywhere with a Gurkha. Then we had to go a 3 months duty to Quetta, which was up on the Afghanistan border. The train took days to get there, and the experience we had of Afghanistan, on the borders of Afghanistan, was terrible because they used to take pot shots at us. But our sergeant always told us, if you hear the whistle of a bullet, you're all right. If you don't hear it, you're no good. You've had it. But we never saw them, these Afghanistans, because they were up in the mountains and that. And they just taking pot shots at the military. They wanted to get into India. We were there to try and stop them. From there.
How did you cope with on the train with food?
Mostly army rations, sandwiches, etc.
And what about the toilet facilities?
No, very bad, very bad.
Did you stop the train and let everybody off? Or?
Oh yes, they stopped at the stations and that, but there were so many troops on board, you know, it was a job. It was nice to get out and stretch your legs and that and get back on.
And did you sleep on the train as well?
Sleep on the train, yes. And they're not the comfort ones like we've got. They're all wood seats. And some stations, you had to, if the train stopped, you had to put the shutters up because the monkeys would come into the train and steal anything. It was very, very hot indeed. Anyway,
do you remember what time of year that was?
It was about June. The heat, as the temperature goes up to 90s, 100s. Then when we came back to Karachi, I got posted to Secunderabad. And where we did more military training.
Ready. Did anybody tell you what you were training for?
Well, it was just infantry training. That's all it was for. It was on the rifle ranges, things like that, marching. But then I was taken ill, and I was taken to hospital, and I was very seriously ill with kidney trouble. And with malaria, you name it, dysentery. rough going. Anyway, after I came out of hospital.
Was it an English hospital?
Yeah, well, yes, there was a few English nurses in the hospital, but mostly were Indian.
How did you cope with that?
All right. I was shaken when I was in hospital by the men who had been in Burma and had come out. It really frightened me to see these men so weak and so terrible. They were just like men from the Belsen concentration camps. They were too weak to be sent home. And I was glad to get out of the hospital.
What sort of contact did you have with them?
What, in hospital?
The men from Burma.
Mm-hmm.
The men from Burma, what sort of contact did you have with them?
Oh, all they were talking about is getting home. That's all that was on their minds.
Did they talk about what they'd been through?
Yes. Terrible ordeals and that, you know. And hope we didn't have to go into Burma, you know, but it'll soon be over. You know, the Japs. What they said about the Japs was disgusting.
What sort of stories did they tell you?
Well, how they ill-treated the troops out there as they got caught, anything like that. They were really horrible. The only man the Jap is frightened of was the Gurkha. He is dead scared of Johnny Gurkha. After I came out, they downgraded me to C3, which meant I wasn't fit for fighting.
Have you lost a lot of weight?
I lost 4 stone in weight. I put on a lot of weight when I was in Ireland. My wife hardly recognised me when I came home from Ireland because we used to go and have steak and chips every night.
No rationing?
In Castle Welling. I put on a lot of weight, but when I was out in India, I lost a lot, especially with dysentery, because it's most horrible. To see men in hospital just wearing pads, that's all they had to do. All they could wear was pads, because we were just bleeding, and it was terrible. Anyway, I came out of the hospital, was downgraded, and they posted me to Rangoon. The war was still on. I didn't know. It was near the end. I got posted to the Tok H, a canteen which they opened up in Rangoon for the troops coming out of the jungle, so they could have somewhere where they could sit and have some decent food and a cup of tea. And I worked at the Tok H headquarters in Rangoon until my number came up to be discharged. I was number 27 because being young when I joined up and I was in the whole of the war, I was one of the early groups to be discharged. That was the day I got on the boat, the Duchess of Devonshire.
So you were there at VJ Day, were you?
VJ Day. In Rangoon, because there were still a lot of pockets of resistance in Rangoon. There was still fighting going on. VJ Day came, and we heard that it was all over, the atomic bomb had been dropped. It was all over. Everybody was, we were on our way home, you know. But we was in there quite a while after that, because they were still picking up Japs. I remember just before I left Rangoon seeing about 50 Japanese prisoners cleaning out the drains and the sewers in the main streets of Rangoon with just one little Gurkha keeping an eye on them. They were dead scared of a girl.
So what sort of celebrations did you have on VJ night?
Nothing. We were too excited that it was all over. And we just, you know, when are we going home? When are we going home?
So you didn't get drunk?
No, no, I never touched alcohol. You didn't touch alcohol right there. No, no way. There was alcohol right there, but I never touched it. But, there's two things that get stressed to us. Is to leave the women alone and to leave the drink alone. Because the hooch was no good. But, the Africans who was in the British Army out there, they went on it and they went crazy with us.
What sort of role were the Africans in out there then?
What?
What sort of role were they doing? What were they doing, the Africans?
They were in the army.
Yes.
They were stationed around Rangoon.
In a special unit?
I don't know what they were, but I should always remember them, seeing them on these lorries going through Rangoon, firing their rifles in the air. What regiment they were in, what they were, I don't know. But they went mad because the war was over. And they'd be going home, that's the thing.
Did you get regular letters from home while you were there?
A few and far between. Some weeks you'd get three or four, then you'd go two or three weeks before you get another batch. The wife wrote regular, and I wrote regular to the wife. But that is my story.
So you came back how long after the VJ day before you were demobbed?
Oh, quite a while. I think it was about 9 months, 12 months after VJ day. Came back on the Duchess of Devonshire, the boat, to Southampton. That was a lovely sight, coming into Southampton to see the green fields of England. And we went by train from Southampton to Olympia, where you went in and they issued you your civilian clothes. They just said, what size hat do you take? What size chest are you? And they just gave you a coat, a suit. And we caught a train home. That was it.
How did you feel?
Wonderful. I couldn't get home quick enough. I still always remember I got off the tram and a tram conductor came out and said, "Oh, my leave." I said, "Yeah, for good, I hope. I'll give you a hand with your suitcase." And he carried the suitcase up the road to my house because I had a full kit bag and pouches and everything all full up in there, plus a kit bag. I said, "Oh, can I haven't got to go far with this, because all my kit I brought home, like that elephant there, you know, from Burma." That's it.
Were you on the reserve after the war
to
Korea?
No, we were discharged. Discharged completely.
What sort of pay did you get while you were in the services?
I had only got a few shillings a week because my money went to the wife. And I had a wife in 1941. Yes. We've been married 62 years.
Well done.
Mm.
What's your biggest memory?
Mm?
What's your biggest memory of what happened?
Of my...
of your service?
With a boat trip on the Cape Town Castle and seeing the boys in the hospital in central India.
Did many of them survive to come back?
No, I was discharged from hospital. I look at some of them. They'd never made it. Never. They were too weak. And they couldn't lift a spoon up to feed themselves.